Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And today we are joined by our guest.
Hi, I'm Diana McCullough.
Yes! And we are covering Batman and Robin. And
I am an expert in the field.
That's apparently.
We had to have you on. Like, literally before we even announced that we were going to have a guest on, somebody tweeted at us, like, well, you're having Diana on, right? And then it got so many likes.
I've got a brand. I've got big shoes to fill. They're my own shoes, so it's weird.
Big explanation.
I hope I don't let people down with my continuing love of Batman and Robin.
Well, and I mean, I feel like a lot of people might know this story already, but like always, we like to ask a guest when they come on, what's your relationship with this movie?
I mean, I don't even think there's really a story. For people who don't know, I have a superhero podcast, so I like superhero movies. Mm-hmm. It's a thing I like, but this was like my main superhero movie. I watched this a lot. I had all the toys. I had all the cars. I had all the motorcycles. I saw this movie a bunch. I used to know all the words. I was kind of sad when I watched it this time. I watched it this time and I didn't remember all the lines and I was kind of disappointed in myself. I love this movie.
Dude, I'm shook.
I get it. And
I'm going to disagree.
Hey, no. I can love something and not think it's good.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Guys.
All right.
Guys.
You know what?
It's not. Although, you know what? It's kind of good. I can genuinely defend this movie and I genuinely enjoy it. And I don't know. And I'll be kind of honest. Like 50% of it is Chris O'Donnell super hot. And then the rest of it is just like fun Batman 66 vibes.
Okay. I can see that.
He gets wet 3 times. Did you guys track that?
Like, I did not. I just tried to track all
like the
puns.
Melted ice cream, and that was a weird one.
The melted ice cream
because it's ice cream.
Yeah, yes. Mr. Freeze's.
Oh, I never really thought what that goo was.
No, it was ice cream.
Look at me learning. There's new things to learn every time you watch.
You gotta keep watching this movie 10 more times.
I kept trying to write down what his superpower would have been if that affected him in a super villain.
Like the Joker falling in the vat of
course. Yeah. That's how I feel like that's how most villains start, is you fall into a vat of something.
Yeah.
And then you come out and then all of a sudden, you know, like, I don't know, nobody can keep a hold of you. You always end up on the ground. I don't know what that superpower would be.
Lactose
to be ice
tolerance.
Cream. Yeah.
Oh no.
You can touch somebody with lactose intolerance and they die. I have no idea.
There's a lot of possibilities there.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. I mean, I feel like maybe you would just be Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, that might be it too. That's actually how he was created. He fell into
a
vat of like
Mr.
cryo.
Freeze.
You'd be Mr. Freeze, but you'd actually melt when you leave your little suit thing.
Be Mr. Freeze, but with diabetes.
Or you give diabetes. I don't know what you do.
So the plot of this movie, so much as it exists, I guess basically it is what? Like, what would you say?
Diana, can you take it away?
Take it away.
I'm gonna let you take it away because I don't think either
away.
Of us are qualified enough.
Mr. Freeze wants diamonds to fund his research to save his wife. Poison Ivy wants to basically kill humanity because she's like, nature's better.
Right.
And Batman and Robin are having trust issues.
Right.
That was
the perfect way to describe
movie. That is tight.
That was the most succinct. Wow. You just threw. Okay, yeah.
That's like the elevator speech for this movie.
Yes.
But also knowing that it's Batman and Robin, knowing that people are hitting that door open button as you're doing it. Like, that's how quickly you need to get through that. Like, let me tell you about Batman and Robin. No.
Before you go, they're having trust issues this time, guys.
I'm starting to think these buttons don't do anything. So that
you're trapped in my jigsaw-like game where you have to listen to me pitch Batman and Robin too.
So my take on this movie is it is bad, everybody. It is not good.
I'm leaving.
It has 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is so bad.
11.
Do you know how many times I had to review it to get it that high? Really had to bring up the attitude.
Oh God.
So fucking funny.
Took hours. Really funny.
Diana has like 1,000 different IMDb accounts.
Yeah.
Once a week, I just gotta log in again, give it another 10.
Come on, guys, it's not that bad. I watched this movie and rewatching it, I was like, you know what? There are points in this movie where if you just like turn off the brain and relax and kind of let it wash over you. It's not that bad. And then they would do something so stupid, it would pull you right out of that again. Like you know how you're like, this is my experience watching this movie. It's kind of like sitting in the dentist chair and like getting a tooth filled, right? Okay. And you're like, I'm kind of numb. Mm-hmm. I can still sort of feel this, right? Yeah. Like there's like that pain that's through the whole thing, and then all of a sudden they just hit a nerve and you're like, ah! That is watching this movie. Oh God,
what would you say was the nerve? What was the worst part for you?
Hit me with your
worst part.
That's a tough question to answer. Well, for me, and maybe you can explain this better, because maybe this isn't a plot hole, okay? Maybe it's not.
No guarantees.
Maybe it is not, but I could not. It pulled me out of its hole because I could not understand, because he needs these diamonds to power his machine to hold the city ransom because he's like, I'm going to freeze you all if you don't pay the money. Why didn't he just sell those diamonds?
A way more brilliant idea.
I just want to...
Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. Diamonds. Yes. Big diamonds. Yes. I don't know how much big diamonds are worth. Like $100 million?
Yeah, like a ton of money, some of these. If they were real, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if they were real. He needs, as he says in his own words, billions for his research. Mm-hmm. I don't know what his research entails. He needs. Do you know how much $1 billion is?
I mean, disease research is pretty expensive. I'm going to get behind Mr. Freeze on this, where really his motivation, what he really wants is just publicly funded medical research.
Oh, no, 100%. I'm with him on a lot of this shit, honestly. I am with him on a lot of it. But there was a moment where I was looking, especially when they build the machine, they're looking at like 100 diamonds the size of my fist. Yeah. Easily larger, and not look at that and go, this might be enough money to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I ever could think of was that those diamonds weren't worth $1 billion. Or like he couldn't. And also they're kind of like unfenceable. It's like if you try to fence like the diamonds the queen owns, what are those called?
The crown jewels.
You can't fence the crown jewels. No one can buy those.
Everyone knows what they are and they know
very famous diamonds are unfenceable. You can only really just sell them back for insurance or for whoever owns them as a ransom. So if you steal a big diamond, you're like, this is worth a lot. I can't turn that into money unless I do something with it, like build a giant laser. So you just gotta build a giant laser sometimes.
I guess so. A laser
that makes cold. Very unconventional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not actually.
Oh, science me up,
Craig. Yeah.
Science me.
To get to really, really low temperatures, actually what you have to do is, because like heat is basically just like an atom moving back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. And so like to get it like close to like absolute zero, which is basically the atom stops moving at all and it just like dissolves into like nothing. It's super weird. But like you do have to hit it with like small laser pulses. And basically what you're doing is like, you know, if you're on a swing, like picture it like a swing, like you're swinging back and forth. And if you push on like the off swing, it like actually slows you down, right? Oh, so that's what they're doing with like super quick laser pulses to stop the atoms from vibrating back and forth. And it like effectively cools it. So that in the weird way is actually kind of plausible in this universe.
Perfect movie.
I can't believe you just said that's crazy.
But with that in mind, can I tell you the one thing that I'm struggling to come up with? One thing that bothered me the most about this movie, and I think I landed on this. So we also forgot to mention Bane is in this.
Oh yeah, right. he's an afterthought.
He's an afterthought. Is when he's being created, the mad scientist, I don't even care what his name is talking about how he created Bane, and he goes, by simply drilling 3 concentric circles in his skull, and this pissed me off so much, because he clearly has 3 different pipes going into his skull at different locations to deliver his venom. Concentric literally means same center. The concentric circles would be circle inside circle inside circle, and it is such a small thing to get right, and it just shows that this is, they were like, what about circles? What's the thing about circles? Round, too simple. Concentric? Sure, let's not even look up what that means. That's the thing that bothered me the most of this movie, and it's all downhill from there.
That is very on brand for the thing that would bother you, Craig Faye, the most about this movie. I love that in that same scene, you're not mostly bothered by the very racist array of villains.
up on the catwalk,
who are auctioning off the venom. Just an array of the most racist stereotypes you could ever have up there. I think one woman though, so good for them.
Good for them.
Oh,
1997 diversity, everybody.
I have another one.
Oh, okay.
our lady friend, the niece that comes in,
Barbara.
Alfred doesn't want her to ride a motorcycle, but then gives her the ability to fight crime like two scenes later. And it's like, I knew you were going to look at this. Here's your suit. Like, what the fuck is that? That's such a tone shift.
That one is weird.
Yes, I found one.
I couldn't tell if maybe he was just like playing the character of protective uncle before Barbara knew they were Batman and Robin. And once the shield came down, like, yeah, we all love thrills.
Yes.
Also, I'm pretty sure Alfred's pretty used to not being listened to.
Yeah, I suppose so. But that was one thing where I was like, it's your size? Like, it's your suit?
I feel like Alfred might be the villain for making his niece a suit with, like, nipple indents in it.
Dude, those suits.
And
like,
a tight butt.
The Ken doll crotches are madness to me. The amount.
More than the nipples.
Yes, actually. I don't know why, but, like, that whole. And they really want you to notice it. Like,
this is prolonged shots.
Yes.
Every suit.
This is even toned down. In Batman Forever, the crotches were bigger.
No.
Yeah, if you look at photos of the Batman Forever suits, there was more crotch.
No.
Like, the bulge
more
was bigger.
Yeah. Because we watched this movie and said, we need more crotch.
For this movie, they're like, we want nipples. They're like, gotta tone down the crotch.
Yeah.
It's a give and take in this world of the Schumacher Batman movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should we talk about the villain?
I suppose so.
Oh, God. Okay.
I guess we can. Diane.
Thank you for keeping us a good producer here.
Producer, so guest, I do it all.
So I guess the villains are Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy. And Bane to a certain extent.
Yeah, but Bane is so much of an after. You know
he's
what I mean?
He's a henchman.
He is a henchman.
Bane is a victim, really. He's a serial killer before he becomes Bane, so I don't feel super bad for him, but... Yeah, he's basically is just
zombie. We don't have that knowledge in this movie necessarily, do we?
I mean, he was in prison.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't guilty. I don't know. In this movie, they don't tell us anything.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so he's just kind of like really an afterthought.
Yeah, and I remember weirdly watching this movie for the first time and really hating what they did with Bane.
It is super annoying as a comic book fan.
Yeah, it's like, because Bane is such a cool character. But honestly, the aesthetics of him, how he looks in this... didn't bother me as much this time through. I was like, oh yeah, that's actually a pretty good take.
No,
on
yeah, I think so. Honestly, yeah. It's true to like when you watch it, the animated series, like it's a little more that vibe than
Dark
the most
Knight
recent
Rises.
One where you're like, who's this supposed to be?
Yeah.
What is this?
I just wish that he was smart and not like the...
because Bane's a real smart guy. They really fell into the stereotype of like muscles equals dumb.
Right.
Yes.
They leaned into a lot of stereotypes of this movie.
What?
Who do you want to defend? Who do you think is the most defensible villain here?
Poison Ivy.
You think she's the most defensible?
Yeah,
I would go Freeze the whole way.
They're okay.
I'm team
close.
Freeze.
They're both close.
I got to go with Ivy on this.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm with Ivy just because, like, I don't want humanity to get killed by climate change.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do, we deserve it. I think Poison Ivy is like, yeah, she's got a great point. And more so every year that passes. Like, this was 97.
Yeah.
Now in 2019, we're like, we need Poison Ivy.
I agree. And I will also point this out. The I think, only scene that she has with Bruce Wayne, she comes up and hands him a report being like, this is the ways in which you can stop Wayne Corp from polluting and emitting toxins into the earth. And Bruce just goes... we can't do that, and like throws it away.
Oh yeah, that's vicious. That part especially, that hasn't aged well at all.
No.
Yeah, her, and she has like no ulterior motive in that scene. That isn't like, I'm gonna use my pheromones.
No, she's
genuinely like, I'm gonna give this billionaire who's polluting the world a chance to do the right thing with a very well thought out scientific dissertation.
Yeah.
And he's just like, nah, but here, come to my fundraiser.
Okay, here's the only point where I turn on her, because I do agree that she is the most defensible villain, I believe, until about halfway or three quarters of the way through the movie. And then she just starts, I feel, becoming a bad person, where it's like, it's not even just about the mission anymore. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to kill Miss Freeze's wife. Mm-hmm. Like, there's little side shit where I'm like,
she is not a very good feminist.
Yeah, she's not a good feminist. Oh, no. Certainly not. Yeah, not a good feminist. But she does side things that are unnecessary and just kind of evil to her character. Whereas I believe, like, my Freeze man, he's in love. He's in love. He's trying to get research for his wife. These people have been pushing him down. The man is coming down on him, okay? And he's just trying to make shit happen for him.
Now, Freeze does kill a whole lot more people than Poison Ivy does.
That was my objection to Mr. Freeze. And, like, right out the gate.
Yeah, right. His first bank robbery, his first museum robbery, all those security guards that he froze are dead.
Yes.
Every henchman is Freeze like, dead.
If I never see them die, did they die?
I mean,
because
like
got
a lot of these
minutes.
People have 11 minutes to get on Thawed, and since I didn't see them 11 minutes later, I can assume that these people are still alive.
I love the hard 11 minute rule. It's solid.
Yeah. It's, yeah, and I'm sure everyone's metabolism is exactly the same.
Exactly. We're all fine in 11 minutes. What I like about Ivy, though, is I like that we meet her before she gets like murdered and reborn as Poison Ivy.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. she is an incredibly moral person before she's murdered.
Yes.
She's like, I just want to do nature. I think I have legitimate funding. And as soon as she finds out the bad guy who lives in her back room mm-hmm. is doing shady shit, she's like, I'm going to tell the police. And she does that weird acting that she does.
Oh, she is not a good actor in this.
It's over.
It's but very poorly
played.
That's
got to be like stylistic. Like that had to be a choice. That's not Uma Thurman, right?
Oh, yeah. That was her choice. Like she, well also, but Joel Schumacher before like every take would be like, remember everyone, we're making a cartoon. That was the direction he gave every person acting. And I think only George Clooney didn't take the note. Everyone else is like, okay, we're in a cartoon.
Yeah.
Well, that actually puts this movie into it makes a lot more sense when you say that.
And that's the other thing about this movie. I saw what they were going for, and I was just like, just none of it works.
Oh, I think I know we're joking a lot. I think genuinely a lot of it's really fun. Especially my favorite part is the opening museum robbery.
Oh, yeah?
Just ice skates in the boots, whole bunch of puns, dinosaur shit. I think that is my funnest sequence of the Batman film.
I mean,
sure.
And that immediately put me off it, because I was like, this is, like, because it starts with, like, the back and forth quip about, like, the girls like the car, and, like, all that kind of stuff is, like, mm-hmm. Batman and Robin are going. And it also bothers me that there is a dinosaur in the Gotham Museum of Art.
That dinosaur is art!
Gotham Museum, I'm like, it's got art, it's got dinosaurs, I'd be fine. But they specifically said Gotham Museum of Art. It just, again, it's these small details that bothered me.
No, there are some things stylistically in this movie that I did love. Like there are moments where I'm like, I can totally get what you were trying to do with this. Stylistically, I actually like it. I'm like, this is, and I do like the campiness of it and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I was like, whoever wrote this did it wrong. Okay. Like, I don't mind if I'm watching a superhero movie where it's like, okay, we're super campy or we're super over the top or it's like really like colorful or these characters are crazy. But the ones that would pull me out of it, like, you're going to hate me so much. I could not stand Robin. I could not stand him. I didn't like him as a character, a person, an actor. I hated all of it. There were I think it was the people that didn't maybe play it up enough, I guess.
I can get behind that. Yeah, Robin, Batman, and Batgirl aren't playing it up a whole lot.
No.
The good guys aren't playing up the movie the bad guys are in.
Yeah, and also, at what point was it necessary to make this movie over 2 hours?
Is it over 2 hours?
It's over 2 hours. Unless I watched the wrong fucking version again.
No, there's no
God damn it.
I can guarantee there's no other version of Batman and Robin.
This movie's like over 2 hours. It's like two. It's right in around 2 hours. Let's say that.
This is the exact movie I wanted to make.
If you're making something that's supposed to be a cartoon, to me, that should be an hour and a half. If this movie was an hour and a half, I think I would have liked it a lot more.
Batman Forever is also 2 hours, and Joel Schumacher likes long movies, I guess. And one thing I love about this movie is that it's the only movie I've ever heard of. He finished 2 weeks early. When do you ever hear about a movie wrapping early?
Yeah, because he started watching it and he was like, well, we can tie a bow on this turd. Like,
we're done.
Well, this is perfect. No need to do two more weeks of work on this.
Done. One thing that does get me, though, about this is it is really campy. It is... But the villains that they have chosen for this movie in a better movie are so interesting.
They're interesting, and they do work well together.
They
like,
do.
You know, Freeze hates humanity except for his wife, and Poison Ivy wants Mother Nature to rule. It actually makes total sense as a villain team-up.
Well, even now, where you're like Poison Ivy, who wants to defend the Earth, and Mr. Freeze, who wants to cool things down in the face of global warming, that's a great pair-up, right? But also even just Poison Ivy's motivation of like, and they hint on it a little bit here, where she's kind of rebelling against toxic masculinity because her boss or her mad scientist coworker or whatever is like trying to like kind of convince her to like come over to his side before he kills her.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, come on, baby. Like, and he's like hitting on her and like trying to like kiss her and stuff. And then her reaction to that after she gets murdered is that she is a poisonous kiss and she seduces you and kills you, which is like this this rejection of that kind of like workplace sexual harassment kind of like.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is wonderful. He tried to force himself on her. She said no, and he killed her. And then she kills him with the thing that he was trying to
exactly.
force on her.
Yeah. And like, I just feel like that aspect of it could play so much better in a movie now, especially one where they're not like you know, dressed up in neon and like jumping around in tights.
I don't think the neon's the problem.
I don't think the lack of subtlety
for that kind of story might be the problem. Definitely something along the lines of like, you only die if you try to take from her what she doesn't want to give.
Right.
Like, that's a cool idea.
Oh yeah for sure. Although I will say about this scene, The thing that pulled me out of this that I didn't like about it is that she is the only person I've seen that was a villain or superhero that came out and was like, I know immediately what all my powers are. I know what I'm made of. I know how this works. And I'm like, that, I don't know. I can't.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, in a better movie, we find out.
Like, I normally do like
watch her
the slow discovery of like, what can I do? What can I do? How does this work? There's none of that. She comes out and she knows exactly, she's up to speed.
Like, it is weird. She awakens with the power of exposition of like,
I'm a woman of the planet. I could do this now.
My blood is aloe. My skin is chlorophyll.
Yeah.
Like, your skin would be green, but okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. And how do you know that? You got a chemistry set down
she
there?
Could
like,
feel,
what the fuck?
Yeah.
She can feel it. Yeah.
The plants were talking as they were bringing her back to life, like, all right, so what we're gonna do, we're gonna give you a facelift with chlorophyll, we're gonna replace your blood. They just like the plants had a say in how they were going to rebirth her.
You think aloe in your blood would cool you down a little bit though, huh? You think it'd calm you? It's supposed to have a soothing effect. I thought.
I feel like aloe in your blood would just be like molasses. It's so thick.
It would not be very thick.
Yeah, her blood pressure would just be whoa.
Yeah. I mean, she also died and was eaten by the Earth, so I'm going to give her that. But even Dr. Freeze, I would have loved to see his character's journey rather than this is what happened to Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze is the Freezy.
He's Mr. Freeze the villain, but he is a doctor.
Oh, okay. That's why I keep getting confused.
He removed the doctorate from his name when he went evil for unknown reasons.
They mentioned in this, by the way, he is a Nobel Prize winner.
Yeah. And an Olympic decathlete. Which is why he's so jacked.
Yeah, and an immigrant, certainly.
He has accomplished a lot in his life.
He was a huge loss to the community when he fell in that vat of cryo.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. They should have, even still, they should have been like, you know what? We're going to keep funding you.
Yeah. It's weird that everyone just gave up on him when he fell into that vat of cryo stuff.
And they're like, well, you're weird looking now.
So we're out.
You know what? I'm not going to interact with a lot of other people because I have to be kept at like sub-zero temperatures. So just put me in my lab and I'll do the work. Like just...
He would be the greatest employee.
I'm going to be pretty dedicated to this.
Yeah. He still just wants his wife to come back to life. Like he's just going to work all day, every day. Just give him some funding, Bruce.
Yeah.
Just give him some goddamn money. He can cure even more of McGregor syndrome. Cure Alfred in a year when he gets stage 2.
Yeah. That also bothered me about Poison Ivy when she like, we were just talking about that, but when she produces the thing, he's just like, oh, like whatever. We're holding a fundraiser for the botanical gardens. That's the same thing to you, I'm sure. What the fuck?
Yeah, Bruce Wayne has a very like, but I am doing this,
yeah,
which isn't helping at all.
No. And also you were already funding somebody. He was crazy. This person has now, and she's told, he is now removed from the situation. You can help us today. Take this. Help us out.
Do it.
Nope. None of that.
None of that. Bruce is actually quite...
Bruce is a dick.
Bruce is a dick for a lot of this movie, and I feel like there's an argument you can make for kind of every Batman movie, which is an argument that I've seen people make online that I kind of agree with, which is if you are currently a billionaire... You're evil.
Yes, of course, of course, of course. Yes, because I absolutely agree with that.
$1 billion is so much. Like, you don't need it. Even if you have to make Batmobiles and all this shit, you don't need $1 billion. Mm-hmm. So even if you give a lot to charity, if you still have $1 billion, you haven't done enough. You haven't, especially if you're Batman.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, and like you look at sort of, it's a kind of arrogant move to be Batman when you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that whole thing's built under arrogance. It's just like,
I'm going to have so many toys.
I'm going to have so many toys. I'm going to do so much more than the police could ever do.
Yeah, it's like, how about just like fund... Oh, things dude. In Gotham.
What
too.
Was that ice one they had? The ice with the what do they call those? They're normally on water.
Oh, the Zambonis?
No.
Oh, the hovercraft, the fan boat, the fan dude. Boat.
Yeah, I had that fan boat.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Speaking of, this movie is a toy commercial.
Yes.
Oh
yes,
my God.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's
oh, yes.
So I'm so I know we still do that, but I'm so glad that movies pulled back a bit from that.
Oh yeah, this is 100% like even. And I think Joel, like the director and Chris O'Donnell, like there's a ton of interviews with like Chris O'Donnell, especially because he is the only one that did like two movies. He's like, yeah, Batman Forever felt like a movie. And this was just a very long toy commercial.
Yeah.
For sure. They even like mention that at points where it's like, oh, you're just an action figure and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, that's literally.
This is a crazy tiny thing that annoyed me as someone who bought all the toys from this movie. Mm-hmm. Poison Ivy does have a line that says, I'm a lover, not a fighter. That's why every Poison Ivy action figure comes complete with him. And it's Bane. There was no Bane Poison Ivy toy set.
Oh, that's too bad.
You couldn't buy it despite it being a line from the film about how they came together in a package.
Whoa.
I was actually wondering about that.
What a missed marketing opportunity.
Of course. Absolutely. You could have had Diana's cash and Diana alone, I have to assume.
I mean, I imagine this movie made tons in terms of like toys.
In toys, I think it did fine. It actually didn't do very well at the box office.
No.
It was,
I could see that.
It was Warner Brothers' best for that year, but like box office wise for other big blockbusters that year, it didn't do very well.
Yeah, I mean, fourth in the series and like.
People saw Forever. Like.
Yeah. It's done. But yeah, I really wanted a movie where any of those villains got fleshed out with their motivations. Because
they had good, they had great motivations.
It's a great, like a Nolan movie with Freeze or Poison Ivy is like an Oscar winner again, like the Joker movie. Like,
yeah.
Like Nolan's Joker movie, not Joaquin Phoenix's Joker movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're so interesting, they're so compelling, they have such good backstories of like, we were good people, bad things happened to us, and now no one wants to help us.
Yes.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, that's it exactly. That's so compelling.
They were incredibly wonderful doctors before they had these terrible accidents happen to them. Mm-hmm. And now they just want to still kind of help people, but they're going the wrong way about it. But like, you could help them if you really wanted to.
Yeah,
for
but these
much
are
both of them.
These are the sort of people that are left behind when, you know, you're dressing as a bat and running around. Because you're not funding the right research and that sort of thing. But like,
yeah, at no point did Bruce like come to fight, even though he knew who he was after he watched like Mr. Freeze's backstory on his little camera. He was like, he never was like, do you need some help with your wife? Is she? Mm-hmm. Although she was presumed dead.
Yeah. So he's just stealing diamonds. But like, yeah, it's, I don't know.
This is one of the Batman movies that I watch where I go, no one should live here. Every time they cut out and they panned like the city or whatever, I'm like, this, every building, every single building in Gotham looks like a villain's lair. Like every single one of them.
I will say, like, aesthetically, the one thing I really did like is the whole like Atlas theme of Gotham in this, where it's like the observatory is like that big statue of a guy holding the telescope up, and there's the bridge that's like on Atlas's shoulders. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved that aesthetic for Gotham City. That looked really
cool.
Oh,
yeah, but it's really scary. Cool. Scary, scary purple place that needs to be left.
Absolutely. Yeah. What I really want to know is, like, what is this street crime like on Gotham? Like, is this just like, oh yeah, occasionally, like, we get a Joker that blows through town and that happens, but that's like out on the suburb. Like, you know, that's like downtown. We don't, as long as you don't go down there at night, you're fine. Like, you know, like, is Gotham a livable city for people?
Maybe
on
the outside, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe just like, yeah, the more you, well, no, that wouldn't be the opposite.
I think it's definitely an area sectioned off because there's like gangs. Like, we've seen several gangs. Like, Poison Ivy runs into a gang in that rundown building. Yeah. there's people at the bike race with Barbara and Dick, like,
I even forgot about that scene.
Oh,
man.
There's so much that happens in this movie.
The pod racing equivalent scene in Batman and Robin. So there's definitely gangs, but then whenever they're in like a kind of a nice area, like where the galas are and where the rich people are, it seems like there is no crime. Like, that's where the cops are putting all their people. That's where they've cleaned up everything. And then kind of the rest of Gotham just seems to be eating itself. And then there's like certain areas with a lot of police that like the criminals don't go into. It's kind of how I always figured it. And like Batman, I think, is supposed to be patrolling the less good areas to try to clean those up.
Parts that
like,
are
the cops won't go in there.
Mm. Yeah.
But not in this movie, but in other movies.
Oh, yeah. You know what? And I know this is completely off topic of what we were just talking about, but the scene where Poison Ivy kisses Robin and he peels the plastic off of his lips, the rubber off of his lips, I was losing my mind. So it was like, You really rolled the dice with that one. You assume that you knew exactly how the science of this woman's superpowers worked. It's not breath. It's not anything else but the touch of a lips. And boy, howdy, do I hope we covered my lips.
Did you spit in my mouth a little bit? Oh, shit.
Like, what if you kiss with tongue?
Yes. Yeah, like, I'm like, oh, my God. No.
Did you have a rubber on your tongue, Robin?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Were you using a dental dam, Robin?
Oh, hey, person, I did. It's just me, Robin. Nothing wrong at all. Come and kiss me.
Tell me your plan first before we... And then let's have a smooth...
Rip. I had a wax tongue, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I had no idea. You fooled me. Yeah, although I have to say, whenever he takes them off, I'm always like, man, those were some real skinny rubber lips.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Batman does have some innovative technology.
But that could better go to fight climate change.
But I think that...
How about instead of the Batman or the bat lips or whatever you label them, let's get a bat carbon absorption system going.
He could do it, no problem.
He could, absolutely.
To go back to maybe Batman being a dick, though, I feel like that's one of the ones where he's like, I'll just send Robin to find out her plan, and maybe he'll live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, this kid's been bothering me about this woman for so long. Go have her, Robin.
Find out her plan first and then fine. Just kiss her. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I'll play with your life. I don't care.
He does it.
Fucking Batman, bitch.
Yeah, he'll play with Robin's life. He has no idea what Barbara's training is, but he's like, I guess you're Batgirl now.
I guess you're on the team.
You should be in school. But okay.
Do you guys notice? I feel like this is... I don't know what the math is on it, but if you did the amount of screen time that Batman's on screen, I gotta say this is probably the most disproportionate movie of any of the Batmans. Mm. I think we see Batman less in this movie than any other one. There's so many scenes that he's just not in.
That's actually pretty fair. Yeah, there's a lot of Alfred, there's a lot of bad guys.
It's mostly bad guys.
There's a lot of Barbara and Dick without Batman there.
Yeah, I think they looked at Clooney and they were like, nope, we're cutting a couple scenes.
I don't know if they cut them or just didn't have them.
Yeah.
I feel like the villains are kind of the leads of both of these bad Batmans.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean,
Schwarzenegger even has first billing.
He does, which is actually surprised me. I mean, he is like the highest paid movie star in the world at that point. But
it was 94. The only thing Clooney had done was ER. He wasn't getting billing over on Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
And he just never learned another accent. was just like,
oh, Schwarzenegger.
I mean,
this is what it is.
Team. I'm going to give Arnold Schwarzenegger every credit that he is due. He is a man who didn't speak English and became the highest grossing movie star in history.
Oh, yeah. Bill Burr has a whole bit about this.
He married a Kennedy yeah. and then became a governor of a country. He is the immigrant dream. He has accomplished a hell of a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He's the American dream of like what you're supposed to.
Mr. Universe on top of that, too.
Many things.
Yeah.
And so many just like classic movies too.
He probably has a dream board.
Why would you say that?
It was my first thought.
I love how that's how Arnold Schwarzenegger accomplished things.
Now another thing about Ivy, Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
So we talk about how she goes to Bruce very kindly at his press conference. He's like, "This is how we can save the world." And then her next move is. To like get some money, I guess, for whatever she wants to do next. So she goes to rob the gala in a very non-violent way. She's like,
I was going to ask, what is her plot there? Like, what?
I think her plot there was to get close to Batman and Robin to maybe then kill them later. Because she needed to dose them with pheromones.
And they're as she says, they're the militant wing of the mammal.
Ooh, look who also watched the movie a lot.
I think I pegged that.
The amount of sexual innuendo in this movie is insane, especially this scene.
Oh, yeah. It's a little uncomfortable.
Do you like to tend my garden? Stuff like that, you know what I mean?
She has a garden need pruning.
Yeah. That's it. That's the line I was thinking of.
And that's a tough thing to balance in this, because Poison Ivy is intrinsically a sexual character. Like, that's her, like, she's a seductress kind of
like a siren. She lures you to your death.
And kisses. Yeah, exactly. So that's got to be there as part of her character. But contrasting with this is a cartoon, it's so weird. And
it's weird, and also, like, if you are that sexy, I don't think you need, like, sexual lines.
No,
like
we
that?
Get it.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah.
They were already pretty enthralled before you talked about pruning your garden.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say one thing that bothered me about that bachelorette auction, though, is that it starts off and there's all these men in the audience be like, I pledged like a 2,000 for, and they're all named after flowers, for like orchid. And someone's like, oh, I'll pledge this for a tulip or whatever it is. And it, like, they're all bidding on different things at the same time. It drove me absolutely nuts, because that's not how auctions work.
It's a very disorganized auction.
Yeah. Like, someone's being like, sorry, you bid what for who? And like,
No signs, no auctioneer. Now, my absolute favorite thing about that scene is when the sexy music kicks in and it takes her a good 2 minutes to take off that gorilla costume.
Yes, the gorilla striptease.
That is my favorite scene. I laugh so hard. Everyone's looking, there's sexy music playing, and a very comical gorilla costume, which isn't like sexy or tight, like a giant man could be in there, is dancing.
And is in there, because Bane is dressed as
one. Bane's in one of them, and they look the exact same. And they're watching this sexy gorilla dance, and she takes off like one glove. And you're like, maybe she's hot, that's a hand, okay. Then the second glove comes off, and then literally, like, it takes 2 minutes for the whole costume to come off to be like, okay, it is a sexy woman. All right. Wow. This was a real long build.
Yeah. And okay, here's another a weird thing about Poison Ivy for me, because I remember watching this as like a young kid, or like, you know, around that age. And I was like, ooh, Uma Thurman. Holy shit. Like, you know?
She looks great.
Except like, when I rewatched this, I was like, these costumes don't do
it
for me.
Doesn't do it for me.
Like there is a sexy version of Poison Ivy. Mm.
I don't think that person's Uma Thurman, though. You need to be, in my mind, and maybe I'm just...
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, that actress was Uma Thurman, right?
Yes. I prefer... Why are you so thin? Like, why? You know what I mean? In my mind, and I get it, because, like, I guess you're Poison Ivy, and you're supposed, you know what I mean? Maybe it's, like, you're more like a, like, you're tall, you're thin, you're... Maybe it is supposed to be kind of like that, but in my mind, this was supposed to be one of the sexiest villains, right? Mm-hmm. And use her and that's what she's trying to do.
She's like
her
like sexy pinup.
Yeah. It's supposed to be, in my mind, a pinup, and I'm like, Uma Thurman, and I think she's a beautiful woman. Okay, I think her face is gorgeous. She has no ass. This woman has no ass.
Okay.
How do you justify to me that this is supposed to be the sexiest woman ever with no ass?
And a lot of the costumes too, like, they just looked cheap and weird. Like there was like this weird, like, kind of tight plastic fake leather stuff. Mm-hmm. And it would like wrinkle weird on her, which is like,
looking at the details, huh?
Well, no, because it fascinated me, because I was just like, ooh, like, here's the thing. Uma Thurman, I remember wanting to go see, remember the Avengers?
The not Marvel Avengers
that came out, which is a movie that makes absolutely no sense. But bonkers. I remember like in around the same time, couple years either way. And I was like, ooh, Uma Thurman in like a tight, bodysuit or like riding a motorcycle. I was like, I want to see that movie for some reason. I don't know why. And then like, I thought I felt the same way about this movie, but then I was like, these costumes I don't think they do it for her.
The costumes are very bad, which is so wild because everyone else's costume is so expensive. Hers are very cheap. They're just as like, I've done some cosplays and that's a very cheap material. And what I really love is when like I follow like professional cosplayers on Twitter who are like, this is my Poison Ivy costume. It costs $100. But I'm like, it looks so much better than everything Batman and Robin did. Like,
this is what I'm talking about.
There's detailing. There's like,
it's plant-based.
It's plant-based. It's not just green.
Yeah.
There's like actual like vines wrapped around them, but it like looks like
crawling organic. Up the arms and like, kind of that whole thing.
She's just a woman who wears green bodysuits.
Yeah.
And they don't look good.
One detail I did like about her costume though, and I'm not sure if this was intentional or not, but as the movie progresses, she progresses through the seasons.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You didn't know that?
So guys, like bear witness.
There's always something to learn in Batman and Robin.
Yeah. So she starts and she's like, when we first see her, she's green, right? And even her eye mask thing is like very, very green. A couple scenes later when we see her, her eye thing has started to turn like a little yellow. And then in the final scene where she's fighting Batgirl, it's all red leaves and like big red hair.
Whoa.
So she's gone through, and this is, by the way, a subtlety that this movie has no business owning. You know what I mean? Like if you told me that like Christopher Nolan was like, yes, we wanted to have a metaphor for her, the birth of spring through to winter and his ultimate demise at the hands of Mr. Freeze.
As she is reborn at the beginning of this film, exactly. She will die in the winter of Mr. Freeze.
He said, this movie has no way to claim that metaphor whatsoever. I think a very good set dresser came up with that, didn't tell anybody, and they're like, why is she dressed in red in this scene? You're like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
This is my secret good deed for this film.
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't a lot of subtleties to this movie, certainly. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
More things to enjoy.
I literally can't believe you just taught Diana something about this movie.
I am frankly surprised as well.
I love it. Yeah. I will say, as many times I've seen this, even myself, I discover new things. Like this time watching it, I was just like, wow, there are a lot of bathrobes in this movie.
Bathrobes?
There are a lot of bathrobes.
Every time.
Mr. Freeze shows up in a bathrobe.
Mr. Freeze wears one. Everyone at Wayne Manor is always in a bathrobe. It's so, Barbara wears one. Alfred wears one. Dick wears one. Bruce wears one. I'm like, you're a billionaire. And you're like, just everyone has a bathrobe on. No one owns an actual outfit in this entire movie.
That's so interesting. I've never thought of that. Although I do like the scene with Freeze where he's watching Mr. Stone.
And he's making his henchmen sing.
So good.
And they're eating frozen TV dinners that have not been cooked.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Mr. Ice Christmas. Yeah, that is a weird interpretation of Mr. Freeze because he's supposed to not have any emotions.
Is that his?
I like him with a bit of, I like that he's kind of funny and he's got, I like him.
Arnold Schwarzenegger seems like he's having a real good time.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is having a good time, but it is like, it doesn't match the script though, because a lot of times he's like, my icy heart can't be penetrated. I'm like, you're having a really good time over there singing Mr. White Christmas.
Yeah.
Also, you've got joy in your soul, man.
I don't think you lay into puns that hard if you don't care.
No,
about,
it's like, pun city. This whole movie's pun city.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just have to counterpoint that almost none of these are puns. What?
True.
Everyone always talks about the Mr. Freeze puns, and I'm like, name one pun that he said
Let's kick some ice. Is that close? That's
that was
a pun,
probably
isn't
the
it?
Closest one. But what killed the dinosaurs, the Ice Age, is just a debatable scientific fact.
Absolutely not yeah. true.
It was debatable. Debatable, Craig.
It was a meteorite that struck in Mexico and wiped them out 65 million years ago, and we survived the last Ice Age.
Okay, well then, he's wrong, but still not a pun.
That's another thing I wrote down, yeah.
Revenge is a dispatch served cold. Not a pun.
But also the way he said it made, so get your Sunday best on because we're about to have a feast. Like, that's the entire line where I go, what? What did you just say?
I mean,
I stopped and I was like, I wrote it down and I was like, I guess in theory on paper, this makes sense.
Like Sunday, like D-A-E?
Yeah, no, like Sunday, like
Sunday, like an ice cream Sunday.
Well, I broke it down, and it was like, "Revenge is a dish best served ice cold, so put on your Sunday best because we're about to have a feast." Is like you have to do like that like connect the dot thread sort of thing where it's like, okay,
the feast of revenge.
Feast is revenge, so we're eating a meal. So you eat a big meal on Sundays after church, yep. So you dress good, and then like it's a big dish of revenge. But it makes no sense as a line of dialogue.
No, it's not a snappy villain line. But yeah, other
they say a lot of hanging out. Oh, it's just hanging out because I'm literally hanging.
Yeah, like he says things like the Iceman cometh, everything freezes. That's not a pun.
That's not even
true.
No,
that's not. Yeah.
Again, yeah. Not factually accurate.
Oh, no, I just meant the movie as a whole. I didn't find that any specific character was specifically punny. I just found this movie had more puns than I had seen in a movie.
A lot of wordplay, anyway.
A lot of wordplay. Wordplay, at least. Like, oh, is your thumb the only thing that's green?
Blah, oh, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they're kind of out of it for a bit, and they're like, we were fighting over her. That's weird. Nice stems, though. Good buds, too. I'm like, yeah.
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 This wordplay I don't need when you're not under mind control.
Yes.
Like, you just admitted you're just, like, out of it, and now you're just being gross. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, heroes of my film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was really... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I wanted more. Like, you know what I mean? Because there's a moment where if you flip and it's too... It's so much, then it gets really good because you're like, I'm just living for this now. I'm just waiting for the next one to drop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're definitely... I think what you said earlier is actually right, where like if it was an hour and a half, this movie might be much more palatable.
Yes, I think so. Because it was weirdly put to me where I'm like... Like it's supposed to be cartoony and it's geared towards children buying toys, but it's also oddly sexual at the same time. And it's weirdly long. It's too long for what we could have removed some of these plot lines. I think we could have taken out the whole Alfred daughter thing. Or not daughter, niece thing.
I don't think
thing.
We need Batgirl in this
I
movie.
Think if you had removed that from this movie, and not that I don't think it was a terrible plot point or anything like that. I just think it would have made the movie short enough that I would have been like, oh, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah, like you don't need Batman and... You don't need Batgirl to come in to resolve the conflict between Batman and Robin. Like in terms of them not trusting each other or not being family.
And that's never really even resolved.
No,
no, it's not.
Really, the only reason to have Batgirl is you don't want to beat up a woman. So you're like, hey, go fight Poison Ivy for us. We don't want to punch him with Thurman.
Right. Of course, that's why that happened.
It seems to me to be the only reason to have Batgirl there. But also, this movie's called Batman and Robin. So maybe you don't need Batgirl.
No,
I don't think so. And yeah,
they
she eats up a lot of time. Like we said, like the motorcycle part, what's that for? Who asked for this?
I mean, in theory, I can get behind a scene in a Batman movie where Batgirl and Robin race motorcycles. Like, that's not so not part of their characters that like I would object to it. But again, in a movie that's 2 hours long, you know, I guess that shows that Batgirl can kind of take care of herself and
but it doesn't go into the plot at all.
No.
Like, if they're chasing bad guys on motorcycles or she's trying to stop a crime instead of just being like, I just like to race in a Fast and Furious style.
Like everything in this movie, there was a better way to do it.
Well, I just think, for me, the point is that when I was watching this movie, I found, even if you don't agree with the villains, I found them, you could connect with them emotionally more easily, which is insane because they were so outrageous.
And over the top, yeah.
But you were like, but I understand your motivation so much more than anybody else in this movie.
Yeah, none of the heroes get nearly as much to do. Like, why does Barbara want to be Batgirl? Why does Robin even care? Like,
yeah.
But the villains, you're like, no, I know why they're both doing everything they do.
Yeah, I've got backstory, context. Like,
there's even kind of a very nice moment, like a genuine, actual nice moment when Batman convinces Dr. Freeze to save Alfred. And he does.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze, like, gives him the cure, and he's like, oh, you're right. I will be a good man, and I'm going to save your dad, Butler.
Your dad, Butler.
He's his dad, Butler.
He is his dad, Butler. You're right.
So, yeah, Mr. Freeze is the one who saves Alfred at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Redeemable.
Yes, absolutely. And, yeah, you can just attach yourself so much easier to those characters, I find, that because they give us... very little context, backstory, anything for the supposed heroes of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the motivation is all, it's all villain.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because I'm curious. If you can recast this movie, we're going to redo a Batman movie.
Okay.
Who's your Mr. Freeze? Who's your Poison Ivy?
Oh
shit.
Because I think for me, I think I'm going to go Poison Ivy. I'm going to throw out an Emma Stone.
That's going to be a pass for me. That's going to be a pass for me.
She's kind of like...
She's too quirky. Yeah, she's too quirky. Yeah. She's too cute.
Not sexy. Mm-mm-mm.
Or Eva Green. Oh, I'm going to upgrade to Eva Green.
Who's Eva Green?
Casino Royale.
Peaky Blinders 2, I believe.
Oh.
Oh, no, she's also Penny Dreadful.
Penny Dreadful, that's the one I meant. Eva Green. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who's my sexy lady?
Oh, that's such a... How do I narrow down the list of hundreds? Okay.
Now, Mr. Freeze, let's see.
I think I want more of the classic Batman animated series.
No emotion, bald
series.
Guy. Maybe like Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
He's emotionless and he's bald, but he also loves his wife. I can see it.
No. I know who I want. I want Statham.
You want Statham?
Yeah, I want Statham. I would love to see Statham do... A really over the top
though, because I'm talking. I think,
No. I want him over the top. Cast him and be like, I want you to go nuts. Like, I just want you to go bananas on this film because he can be really funny.
Oh, I love Statham.
Yeah,
he
like he's got really great. Like he can slide in there, and you think he's all serious, and he can really catch a good line.
True,
like,
he was great in Spy. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, like yeah. I think
Hobbs
you
and
ham
Shaw
it up.
Is very funny.
What's that?
Hobbs and Shaw is also very funny.
Oh, I haven't watched that one. Yeah, but he's somebody where I'm like, I want to watch you ham up this character. I think it'd be great.
I'm just trying to think of who my hot Poison Ivy is.
I know. It's too hard. I feel like it's too hard to narrow down hot ladies.
Everyone I would pick has already been like cast as a superhero. I'm like,
same.
Maybe Gal Gadot, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah. And I'm thinking more like grounded. Mm. Like, you know
like
what I mean?
Sienna Miller.
Yeah.
Blake Lively.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a hard...
If she was a better actress, yes.
That's fair. I've seen Green Lantern.
Yeah. Like, she's a hot lady, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know if she'd be my pick.
Yeah. Am I making a good movie?
We're making a good movie. We're making a good movie. This is the redemption song. I know you don't think that this movie needs redemption. But
I love this movie.
Yeah, I think. I'm trying to think who I'd come up with Mr. Freeze. I'm coming up blank too. Because I want the more like Batman the Animated Series. Like, not necessarily a big jacked guy. Just someone who looks... I mean, Bruce Willis could actually probably pull it off.
Bruce Willis is Mr. Freeze. I don't know if I believe he was a scientist.
Excellent point.
You have to have a level of intelligence in your performance as well.
Yeah.
Now, I would like to close off with one thing that I do want to say about these movies, which is stolen from a YouTuber I like. His name's Patrick Williams. And I liked him before he made this video, but he made a movie defending the Forever and the Batman and Robin movies. And the point he made was that they were... ahead of their time, and people weren't ready for them.
Okay, tough sell.
Hear me out. Hear me out.
Hey, we're all about contrary opinions on the villains,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Because the only movies that were out by this time were the two Burton ones. So Batman Returns, and then you get these two.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have like a lot of Batman content yet. So people didn't want quirky, fun Batman yet. They were like, we still want the Burton ones. I think if these movies came out after Burton, Nolan, Ben Affleck's version, and we're like, we're making a fun Batman. I feel like people would be like, oh, that'd be fun. Like Lego Batman, but live action. Like, a fun Batman. So I kind of feel like we weren't ready for them.
I would agree to that. I think you're right. Like, if you came up with a fun Batman now, it'd skew a little better. But again, it's...
But now if you come up with a fun Batman, people are just going to be like, oh, like Batman and Robin.
Right.
And say it's going to be bad.
Well, and I mean... Lord and Miller, if you did Lord and Miller, if they did Batman and Robin, that would have been a fun Batman movie. But they didn't. It was Joel Schumacher. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, this is a movie that like aspires to be something, and I just feel misses. So like, I will agree with you on the fun part, and I don't think Batman can't be fun, but like, just the way that they tried to make it fun doesn't work and wasn't fun to me.
Yeah, I still maintain it should be an hour and a half.
Yep.
I can get behind that.
If it was an hour and a half, I think I could really get behind it. You know what I mean?
Theatrical hour and a half. Special director's release of 2 hours for me.
Yes. For one just singular person.
A lot more Wet Robin content.
Yes, please. Oh, my God.
More Wet Robin.
Oh, God. I opened a window.
Robin, why are you showering with your uniform on? I don't know.
It seems counterproductive, doesn't it?
Yeah, guys.
This is what slow pan.
This is what Diana wanted.
Yeah, and you guys should tweet at us your suggestions. Recast.
Who do you think would be recast in this?
I'd love to hear some new idea. I want to hear what you guys think about this because I just love putting other actors into. Oh my God. Okay, this has nothing to do with anything, but it's one of my favorite things I've ever heard somebody say on stage because it was so. I was like, this is the hackiest joke I've ever heard, but he was so into it and was like, so, like, this is the best joke I've ever told. I died. It was so funny. This guy goes, he goes, guys, I was thinking the other day, he goes, what if, of course, it's Christopher Walken. He goes, what if Christopher Walken was put in the movie Twilight? He goes, I think it'd sound a little something like this. And then he does, I can't do it, but yeah. He goes, my name is Edward Cullen, but I'm so sad. They should call me Edward Sullen. And
I fucking lost my mind.
I was just like, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Batman and Robin level wordplay there.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
I like that he went for a pun and added the extra level of, it's Christopher Walken, though. Like, I wrote a pun and it wasn't funny enough, so Christopher Walken saying it.
But yeah. I know how to do this voice, so I'm going to try it. Oh, it's my fucking favorite.
And that's how you do a movie like Batman and Robin. You have a bad pun. You say it in a quirky voice of some kind of 1920s movie star like Uma Thurman's doing in this.
Yes.
And then you're set.
Yeah, I think it's good. Anything else we want to... I think we covered it all off on this.
We're going to defer to Diana here and make sure she didn't have any extra points she wanted to make.
Not about the villains. The last thing that I absolutely loved was that if you checked on when Barbara was breaking into Alfred's CD, the file was called Alfred's CD.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Also, who makes a 3-letter password?
Peg!
I get that you want her to get into it, but if this gets into anybody else's hands.
I also love that she was going to computer sciences school and her breaking into the disc was just guessing the password.
We talked about that in our
Watchmen. Let me look around the room for clues.
Someday I want to see a movie version of that where it's like, I wonder what the password is. And they're like looking around, they're like, Spider-Man? No. And they're like, thermostat? No. And then there's just like a 20-digit random numbers and letters.
Okay.
WR_CP98483782141.
That's some real National Lampoon shit. I love it.
Yes. Craig, we're writing that movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're writing that movie.
Or I would like to see
a movie. Well framed and everything.
Yeah. Right above the door frame. Yeah.
Or how about a movie where someone who knows computer sciences just opens a disk not using a password? It's like, oh, I'll just like go into like the root file and do.
Yeah, or even just like a hand away, like, yeah, there's a well-known security flaw in this program
that they haven't covered yet.
There's
a backdoor.
Oh my God.
So that's about it.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's time to give our definitive ranking of how good the villains are.
Well, no matter how few puns are in here, I did a pun scale. I don't care. I'm sticking to it.
There's at least a couple.
There's certainly a few.
But most of them are just the word cold.
Wordplay, yeah.
It says the word cold.
Always winterize your pipes.
Not a pun.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
That's nice, actually.
just take that home. So I've got, on the pun scale, I've got from a joke your least favorite coworker told to listening to a prop comic, I have attending an all dad picnic. Okay. Yeah. There are the puns in this movie are the most evil thing in here, and there's too many of them.
Okay. That's my takeaway.
What do you got?
I got one for Freeze and Ivy.
Cool.
And I used a doctor scale for both of them because they are both doctors.
Well educated villains.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for Dr. Freeze, I have from Dr. House from the show House. To Dr. Doom, he's Dr. Seuss because he loves wordplay.
Okay.
Yeah. Good one, yeah.
And for Ivy, from Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman to Dr. Moreau, he's the guy who made like humans and animals into the
Dr.
same
Moreau.
Thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to give her a Dr. Evil because she probably just wants sharks with lasers on their heads.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
She wants nature to fight back.
Yeah, sharks with lasers.
Sharks with lasers. That's so funny.
I get it. So I did the poison ivy. So I'm going to do the poison scale. So on a on the scale of food poisoning. You know, kind of mild, you know, awesome. We've all been there, to being poisoned by polonium. I don't know if you remember that one Russian journalist who died of, like, a very rare radioactive element that's only from one nuclear reactor in Russia.
Okay,
that's a real thing that happened. Anyway, there's a whole documentary, Poisoned by Polonium. Real bad way to go. Anyway,
this episode brought to you by Poison by Polonium.
I'm gonna give Poison Ivy a solid carbon monoxide poisoning, because you know you're gonna go a little crazy before she kills you, you know, with the pheromones and all that. But wouldn't be a problem if you weren't burning so many fossil fuels.
Hey!
There's a moral in the scale.
Yeah, I try. So before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, where we describe the people who've inspired and disappointed us in our personal lives, a couple ways you can help out the podcast.
Please like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you could leave us a one-sentence review, hugely helpful. Yeah, yum, yum, yum. A lot of you guys have been doing that. We really appreciate it. Really helps us out hugely. You can also follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter. Email us at villainwasright@gmail.com and like our Facebook page, Villain Was Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you got a couple bucks that you want to throw the podcast to maybe help us out with production costs, recording, and that sort of thing, we are on Patreon, so head on over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright. We've got a bunch of different tiers ranging from we'll recommend a place where you can get a hammock in your hometown, all the way up to bonus episodes, audience choice episode votes, and early release episodes. So if that sounds like something you're into, head on over there. But if not, thank you so much for listening anyway. You're doing the best. You're
doing great work.
Keep it up. Yes. You're the best. That's it. So
now
what
it's
do
time
we got?
For heroes our heroes and villains. I'm going light this week. I just honestly just watching this movie made me feel like you know when you get that like nerdy nostalgia a little bit.
Okay, I was worried you were gonna make the villain this movie the villain.
Oh no! It's like hero. I've just been like nerding out all week. I've had like the greatest nerd week where I bought Pokemon, locked myself in a room, downloaded Disney Plus, binged on old shows, and played Pokemon like I was in a goddamn time machine. I'm honestly, it's so late, but I've just been having the best time being a nerd lately. I don't know if that makes any sense. I got a new D&D group. I'm so excited. It's me, a couple of comics.
Right.
Finding a good D&D group is hard. Okay, it's hard to find. A nice, you gotta bond well together.
It's schedules,
but it's also, I don't know, have you ever played D&D, correct?
Yeah.
There's a certain level of actually like vulnerability to it because you're supposed to be role playing. Like you're supposed to throw yourself into it a little bit. So it sometimes can be a little jarring with people that you're uncomfortable with because you're like, oh, well, I don't want to like do a voice or I don't want to be weird or I don't whatever. And these guys are so into it that they're just like, I don't care. And I know this is such a small side thing, but if you play D&D, this is so great. One of the characters, his whole thing is based off of that he's never been punched out. Like, it's our first game, right? It's our first game where we come in. He's a fighter. He's lost every fight he's ever had, but his claim to fame is that he's never been knocked out, right?
Okay.
That's his whole thing. Okay?
I just love
it's
where
his
this is going.
Whole thing. So this is the first game we're playing. This is my. I don't think I've ever. I First of all, we laughed for 4 hours. Like, I just don't think I've ever laughed so hard, like just front to back. But the last thing that happens in our game, okay, the very last thing that happens is he goes, we meet a new group of people. They like us because I just murdered a man. I murdered a racist.
Oh, nice.
And the dungeon master didn't think I was going to do that. And he's like, you don't understand how important this character was for the rest. He's like, I have to go home and rewrite everything because you killed this guy.
Well, don't make him racist next time.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to kill some racist. He's like, I just
what
didn't
What class
think-
are you? Yeah. Racist killer.
Yeah. I'm chaotic, man. Did you not read? I'm crazy. So it's the last thing we're going to do. This is the last. We're talking to these people, and then we're going to wrap the game, and we're out for the day. And he goes, I challenge this man to hit me. The Dungeon Master goes, what? And he goes, I challenge him to hit me. And then the DM rolls a nat 20, knocks this guy out, and we all lose our fucking minds, man.
That is the that's the end of the campaign. That's
no, it's not the. It was just the end of that session.
Oh.
So now this guy's got, and he's so excited because he's like, I've built my whole character around this, and now this man's moral has been shattered.
That's amazing, though. That's like, actually a fantastic character.
He's stoked now because he's like, this is such a better character now because he's fucked up.
and like just having to. Like, I'm the guy who only got knocked out once. And just as the game goes on, that number just keeps going up and up. I haven't been knocked out a ton of times.
Oh, it starts to be like that sign at workplaces. Like, yeah. I haven't been knocked out for two days.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a fun game.
It was the best. I haven't laughed so hard. Anyway, but
that's
just
a great hero, though.
My hero's just nerdiness, and I've just been having a great nerdy
that's
time.
So refreshing.
I love it.
That
was so fun and lighthearted.
Yeah. Dana, what do you got?
I have a villain. A lighthearted villain, but a villain to me nonetheless. My villain is Brian Michael Bendis. He is a comic book writer. He's actually a very good comic writer, and I mostly like him. He's actually the co-creator of Miles Morales, the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, cool.
So he's a cool guy, but he is my villain this week because he is currently writing Young Justice. And this is about Robin. It's going to be shocking.
Yeah. So
this is shockingly about a Robin upset. So my favorite Robin is Tim Drake. He's the third Robin. He's been Robin since like the late 80s. But all the Robins change their name every now and then. Sometimes he's Red Robin, sometimes he's other kind of Robins. So Brian Michael Bendis recently changed Tim Drake's name, and he's not Robin anymore. And Tim Drake's new superhero identity is Drake.
No!
As in the duck.
No. Okay.
But that's also the character's real last name, and his identity is a secret. But also, that's a rapper.
That's a bad call.
That's like
I'm gonna call that a bad call.
If Batman changed his name to like Jay-Z, you can't call yourself a famous rapper. That's already taken.
Or the Joker being like, hello, have you seen my Wu-Tang Clan?
So there's so many reasons it's bad. It's a duck, not scary. It's his real name. It's a rapper. And everyone online is making fun of my favorite Robin. And I'm very upset about it. And Brian Michael Bendis should know better. And I'm mad. And he's also said that Tim is his favorite Robin. So I'm very disappointed in you, Brian Michael Bendis.
If you're listening, change your shit.
If you are listening...
Thank you so much.
Thank you. No.
That's a good
point.
Can
you imagine he gets it? He's like, oh, this looks like pretty. Oh, I meant that they're talking about Batman and Robin. I like that.
I like
and then
Robin.
He gets to the end, he's like, dear God.
He knows what he did. Yeah, I'm not the first person to point out this is a bad name. So he's my villain, but maybe he'll fix it. He's also still a good writer, though, so that's
fantastic.
Annoying.
That's
annoying.
My villain is kind of my own brain / Batman and Robin, the movie, because this is what this movie did to me. Okay. So as I was watching it, I was just so overwhelmed with the stupidity of it that I was having a rough day watching this. Okay. Like above and beyond having watched the movie, you all had days where like you forget how you spell common words or like forget
your
pen.
Don't look at my notes.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you dare.
I was trying to spell Saturday with an E, like S-A-T-E-R-D, and I was like, why doesn't that look right? And I couldn't get it. There's a bunch of different things. I was tweeting out that we're going to be doing the labyrinth in a couple weeks, and God damn it, can I spell that word for the life of me? I couldn't even get it close enough. I was like, I know there's a Y in there, but it was just like, I was doing that and then fucking up Saturday, and I was just like, I'm forgetting people's names. Like, my mind was mush that day. And then later, I was getting a payment for something, and I like went into the breakdown of like what I was getting paid for. And I'm sitting there looking at my screen, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, when I first opened it, this was like hundreds of dollars. And now I'm looking at it on my computer screen, and it's like, it's 94. It's like, it's not even $100. It's like a two digit number. And I was like, I remember that being three digits. That's insane. Like, I swear, like, it added up to many hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. I'm looking at it, I'm like, that is two digits. And I turned to Kat, and I was like, I'm going insane. Like, this, I swear to God, that was a three-digit number, like, a second ago. And I turn back, and I look at the screen, and it's back to a three-digit number again. And I go, this is, like, it's switching on me. Like, I'm not refreshing the page. It's like, it's like in my head. And then Kat turns to me and she goes, Craig, there's a piece of dirt on your screen. And but here's what it did. It just sat right at the top of a five.
Yeah.
And that dot made it look like it was the dollar sign.
Yeah.
So my mind interpreted it as, instead of 594, it interpreted it as dollar sign 94. And so depending on like, a micron of a scroll. It was switching back and forth. And like, Kat pointed that out. I was like, thank fucking God. Because I was ready to walk into the sea. I was like, I am.
My brain has betrayed me.
Yeah, I was like, I'm being gaslit. But I think if it's your own brain doing it to you, that's just insanity. Like, I don't think your brain can gaslight you. I think that's just. And I was just like, I need to go to sleep.
So was this after you watched Batman and Robin?
This is much after I watched Batman and Robin. This did something bad to my brain. That's my villain.
It didn't put dirt on your screen.
Yeah. No, that's true. I did that myself.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin will not take credit for dirt on the screen.
Oh, when I was, the relief I felt when I wasn't going senile was absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I think that does it for us. So Diana, where can people reach you?
People can find me on Twitter at Words of Diana. If you want to hear me talk about more superhero movies, sometimes I'm a little bit more critical of on top of superheroes.
She actually has good opinions about superheroes. Don't let this.
It's just these two.
I thought she had good opinions.
No, she
today.
Does. She does.
It's just
good,
these two I'm weird
taste
about.
In
So Talk from Superheroes, available every week on the same network as these guys.
Yeah. Check it out if you haven't.
And you can follow me at Rebecca Reads at anything of your choosing.
Yeah, and you can follow me, Craig Faye Comedy, on Facebook, Twitter, craigfaye.com for show dates. And that's it. So next week, we are continuing our sort of kind of holiday-themed thing where we're doing the holiday classic. Gremlins, everybody, coming up next week. And that has been us for the villains, right? Until next time, reminding you to stay cool.
The Villain Was Right was produced by Andrew Ivamy for the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.